If you have them, to the book of Colossians. If you don't have a Bible tonight, our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now. You can lift up your hand and they'll give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, you do now. That one that they're giving you is yours to keep. If you have a Bible and for whatever reason weren't able to bring it tonight and don't need that one, you can return it to our ushers at the end of service. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to look here in verse 9. And if on the screens, you can pull up Acts chapter 17 and verse 27. And then after that, we're going to go right into verse 28. Acts 17 and 27, 28 on the screens. And then in our Bibles, we're looking at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. We're going to continue in our series, Walking with the Lord, and pick up with that this evening where we left off last week. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Watch this. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled." Now watch this phrase. If you have a pen or a highlighter, underline it, highlight it. And he says, we're praying for you, and we desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's read that again, both verses. Verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we have heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Notice they're praying without ceasing. Well, what are they praying? "That these people might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, let's stop right there. Does God desire for you to be filled with all the knowledge of His will? I mean, He wants you knowing His will for your life. It ought not be a mystery where you should work. It ought not be a mystery on what you should do. It ought not be a mystery on who you should be in a relationship with. Amen. We ought to know. We ought to know. We ought to be filled with all knowledge and wisdom and have a spiritual understanding of what the will of the Lord is. And not only that, he keeps reading here and keeps saying in verse 10, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now, can we say that clearly here Paul is telling us that we can increase in our knowledge of God? You can get to know God better, in other words. You can get to know Him personally, intimately, be acquainted with Him, like we saw with Enoch, walking with God on a continual, habitual basis, having sweet fellowship with the Father. We can increase in the knowledge of God. We can walk with Him. We can talk with Him. And part of that walking with Him, part of that talking with Him, is going to be us increasing not only in our knowledge of Him, but also in the knowledge of His will for our lives. That's what we're setting out for. Where you as an individual walk in a closer, more intimate fellowship with the Lord than ever before. And through that walk, and through that coming to know Him, you know His ways. You know what moves Him. You know what grieves Him. You're intimately acquainted with our Heavenly Father. And then beyond that even, you come to know His will for your life, where every day you know His will. In fact, our goal is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We're Christians, right? That means we ought to be like Christ. Well, how many of you know Jesus Christ said, "I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. And I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it." So what's he doing? He's living from a place that very few people have ever learned to live. But it's available for all to live. He's living from an inward place. Meaning before he does anything, he's checking on the inside. What should I do? He's walking with the Lord. Before he says anything, I mean, imagine, out of every conversation you have at a lunch table with a coworker, before you say what you say, you check on the inside to see, should I say that? Is it the will of the Lord for me to speak what I'm speaking? Being so in tune with God, walking with him so closely that you not only know his plan for your life, but you know his plan for the conversation you're having with your wife. You're having with your children. You're having with your coworkers. Friends, it's available. How do I know it's available? I've seen people do it. I've seen people walk so closely with the Lord, it was like no air could come between them. My father used to sing a song. It's based off of this verse in Acts chapter 17, 27 and 28. It says that they should seek the Lord if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though he not be far from every one of us. Notice in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also certain of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Notice Paul said, for in him we live, for in him we move, for in him we have our being. He said, it's not as if God is far from you. In fact, it's God's desire for you that when you live in him. When you move in him. That you don't do anything outside of his will. Coming into an intimate knowledge of the Lord. I've seen people walk with him. I grew up with a pastor, Ronnie Sims, my father. He's the pastor of this church. It was started back in 1980. And I saw him walk with the Lord. It was almost as if, I heard Smith Wigglesworth, or I read after him, and he was saying when he'd get up to preach, he'd get up there and stutter and stammer. And he'd talk his way over into the anointing. Brother Hagin did that a lot. He'd get up there and just start talking and talk himself over into the anointing. Well, he'd get up there and just stutter and stammer. He had a big stuttering problem. And finally, his tongue would get connected to his heart. And he'd start preaching and it'd flow and people were getting touched on the left and right. And his wife said she'd sit back in the back. See, Smith Wigglesworth didn't start preaching until later in his life. He was a plumber. And she'd look up there from the back and say, that's not my Smith. That's a different man. That's not my Smith. That's not my husband. Well, I saw my father on many occasions where you could tell he was closer to the Lord that week than at other times. You could see his heart was more sensitive. Walking with the Lord. Having a deep knowledge of our Heavenly Father. I saw it as a child. I saw Brother Hagin. I had the opportunity to know him growing up. He was very close to my father, Kenneth E. Hagin. And I saw him. And I saw a man who walked with the Lord. I'd hear him say statements. I've said this before. But I'd hear him say, not just on tapes, but in person, God's more real to me than the sound of my wife's voice. His voice is more real to me than the sound of my own voice. He said, I'd be driving in the car, and I'd say out of my mouth, God's more real to me than this steering wheel I'm holding. His voice is more real to me than this engine I'm hearing. God is real to me. He said, I started saying that as a faith confession. But he said, over time, it evolved into, sure enough, God was more real to me than anybody or anything on this earth. What was he doing? Walking with the Lord. I can remember, I think I was 18, had come back home from Rhema for a meeting with Patsy Caminetti. And Patsy is a woman, who walks with the Lord. And I can remember sitting at a lunch table, and every word she's saying, it's not just a word she's thinking, It's a word flowing from her heart. And it's cutting into my heart like a knife. I mean, every word she's saying is cutting me to the quick. Well, what is that? It's walking with the Lord. It's having words that are spirit and life. Friends, it's not impossible. It can be done. I know even in my own life, there are moments and there are times where God is more real to me than anybody or anything. And His voice is more real to me than the sound of my own voice. So you can't tell me it can't be done. It's like Keith Moore saying, it's like a man swimming in a swimming pool. And you come up and tell him there's no water in that pool. He says, what do you mean there's no water in the pool? I'm swimming in the pool. There's got to be water in the pool. I'm swimming in it. Well, it's the same thing with walking with God. You can't tell me it can't be done. You can't tell me you can't do it. Why? I know from the Word, number one, but also from precept and example. It can be done. You can know God intimately. Every step you take can be in Him. Every word you say can be because in your heart you know you should say it. But there's a price to be paid for it. There's a price to be paid for it. Go over in Colossians. We're going to come back to this. We're going to read verse 10 again. But go over in Colossians and flip a couple of chapters to chapter 4. And look here in verse 12. Watch what he says. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, Colossians 4 and 12, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Notice, you can stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Well, that means if you can stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, that if you can stand complete in the will of God, you can stand in part of the will of God. Or you can stand in none of the will of God. But for all of us, we have the opportunity, and it can be done for you and for me, to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. But it's not going to happen by accident. You're not just going to wake up one morning and the will of God fall on you like ripe cherries off of a cherry tree. No, we've got to make a conscious choice to walk with God, a conscious choice to fulfill the calling God has for us. In fact, watch this in verse 17. Keep reading there in Colossians 4. And he said unto Archippus, aren't you glad your name is not Archippus? You know, reading that, I want to say Archippus. But if I do the deal right, I think it's Archippus. If your name's Archippus, I apologize. And say to Archippus, watch this, take heed. Take heed. What's that mean? Pay attention. Take heed to the ministry. And that word ministry doesn't just mean preaching. That word ministry means calling. Take heed to the calling, to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Notice this. People have this mind that if God wants it done, He'll just do it. If God wants something for my life, it'll just come in my life. Well, obviously not. If it was so, then in verse 12 there, Epaphras wouldn't have to pray fervently that people would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We just already would. Right? If the calling for your life was just going to come just for the sake of coming, then he wouldn't have had to write to Archippus, take heed to make sure you fulfill it. Isn't that right? If it was just going to happen to him because, well, he's called to be in ministry and it'll eventually come if God wants it. Well, if God wants it, it'll happen. If God wants me to walk in this, he'll open the door and I'll just find myself there. No, you won't. If you don't take heed to the calling God has on your life, you will never fulfill it. And that's why there are so many people who are completely dissatisfied with life, is because they know they're called, they just don't know what it is. They want to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Their soul is almost gnawing for it, but they're trying to find out how to get in it. And friends, this exactly is exactly what I'm trying to teach on this Wednesday night series. As far as I'm concerned, we're going to be teaching on this the whole summer. But we're going to find out how to walk with God, how to be closely and intimately acquainted with Him, how to be filled with all knowledge and spiritual understanding of what the will of the Lord is, how to come into an increasing knowledge of God. Like Paul said, we're going to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I don't know about you, but I want all that God has for me. I want to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And I want to fulfill the calling God has for me. Well, how are we going to do that? The first step, we started talking about this last Wednesday. The first step is holiness. Holiness. Go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1 in Colossians. And watch what he says here in verse 9. In verse 10 again, verse 9 and 10, we'll read them both. Colossians 1 and 9. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Verse 10. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord." What a statement. "Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing." I want to walk worthy. We said this last week, bears repeating. Righteousness is God's gift to you. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. It's a free gift. Read about it in Romans. It's a free gift. And you receive that righteousness by faith. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your heavenly Father, as your heavenly Savior, and as your Lord, your sins were washed away, and you became a new creature in Christ. And when you miss it, and when you make a mistake, it's righteousness that enables you to not fall for condemnation and to not beat yourself up, but rather go boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy in a time of need. That's righteousness. It's God's gift to you. It sealed your relationship. He made you righteous through what He did on the cross. That blood was shed for you, and it washed away that sin. It's His gift to you. It's His gift. It's what makes you worthy. It's what makes you worthy. I tell this quite often, but I heard it in the car on the way over here. And it's something that, man, it's ministered to me time and time again. But Brother Hagin was a prophet. If you stay around here long enough, we'll teach you about the fivefold ministry gifts and the offices of pastor and preacher and teacher and prophet and apostle and all those types of things. Brother Hagin was a prophet. That means he's a seer. And he came to visions of the Lord. And on one particular occasion, he was before the Lord. And when he saw Him, he fell down at His feet. Just fell down before Him. And the Lord said, "Look on My face." Jesus told him that. "Look on My face." And he said, "Oh Lord, no one as unworthy as me is worthy to look on Your face." Jesus said unto him, "Stand to your feet." And when he told him, it wasn't a suggestion. Stand to your feet and look upon my face, for I have made you worthy. And friends, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has made you worthy through what he did on the cross, through his death, burial, and resurrection. All of us have come short. All of us have sinned. But because of Jesus' sacrifice and us by faith receiving him as our Lord and Savior, his mercy's been poured out. He's made us worthy. That's his gift to us. Righteousness. Holiness is a different subject. Holiness, it's your gift to God. It's you saying, you've made me worthy, so I'm going to walk worthy. You've made me worthy. You love me enough to die for me, even in my sin. So I love you enough to put away that sin. Not because sin will hurt me. Not because sin will ruin me. But because I love you. And I don't want to grieve you. And I don't want to hurt you. And I don't want to wound you. I want to walk worthy of you. I want to walk worthy unto all pleasing. I want to please you. And friend, I'm telling you, when that is an attitude of your heart, your fellowship with God will kick up to another level. Righteousness seals relationship. Holiness seals fellowship. Walking worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing. Go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, you guys are listening so good. 2 Corinthians, and look here in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, and chapter 6. And watch here what Paul exhorts the church at Corinth to do. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, and verse 14. I love him enough, the Lord enough, to do everything in my power to keep myself pure, unspotted from the world. I love him enough to choose his way over my flesh's way. I love him enough to remove things from my life that he wants removed, even if I don't understand why he wants them removed. What is that? That's the attitude of holiness. I love him enough to make tough choices. I love him enough to stop doing things and to start doing things. When I got married to my wife, you know, there is an adjustment from being single to being married. There is an adjustment. You cannot sit in like a car and just sit there and make a decision. You know what? I ain't moving this steering wheel. I'm going to hold on to it and just hold it straight and make no adjustments whatsoever. You do that, you're going to wind up in a world of hurt very quick. And it's the same way in marriage. Well, I'm my own man. And I'm not going to change. She's going to submit to me. You're going to wind up in a world of hurt real quick. No, there's changes. There's adjustments. And why do you make those adjustments? Because you love them. Why do you make those changes? Because you want to have sweet fellowship. And so if it means making adjustments from what you do with your dirty underwear or clothes, then by God, make the changes. Make the adjustments. If it means taking your shoes off at the door, take your shoes off. Pick up your newspaper. If it means making him a sandwich, make him a sandwich. Why? Out of love. And in your relationship with the Lord, that's the same thing. It's not because He's lording over you. It's not because He's throwing out all of these consequences. You change for Him because you love Him. I was talking to a young man on the phone the other day. And he had called me and I called him back. And several years ago, he was dealing with some things in his life. And I was talking to him about making changes and making adjustments. Because the Lord loved him. And the Lord wanted to help him. And the reason why the Lord was asking him to make those changes was because the Lord wants him standing perfect and complete in all of the Lord's will. Because that's where the fullness of God's best lies, is there. And so I was telling him, make those changes before consequences come. Make them because you love the Lord, not because you're in pain. Make them before the pain. Well, unfortunately, he didn't do it. And he wound up in a world of pain, a world of hurt. He's on the phone with me crying. He said, I'm making those changes now. Well, I see the Lord loved him enough to send someone to help him, to teach him. And the Lord was wanting him to make changes, not because he wanted to hurt him, but because he wanted to save him from hurt. And so thank God, you know, he's a young man. And so he's saying, I'm removing those things from my life. And I said, praise God, go for it. But it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. Holiness is saying, I want to serve you because I love you. Watch this in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now what does that mean? That means exactly what it says. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now watch this. And what communion hath light with darkness? None. And what accord has Christ with Belial or the devil? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. That was something he told the church at Corinth quite often. You are the temple of God. God lives in you. He moves in you. You are the temple of God. And he's telling them this. And he goes on to tell them, for you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them. And I will walk in them. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. What is this? It's a call to holiness. It's saying if you're walking with me and we're called to this righteousness, then there's going to be some decisions you have to make to separate yourself from the world and from the things of the world. There's no getting around it. If I'm wanting to walk with the Lord, that means I'm also walking away from some things. There's no getting around that. And he tells them here in verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. That word thing is italicized, meaning it wasn't in the original Greek. So you can take it out or add it, but either way it makes sense. And touch not the unclean or the unclean thing, and I will do what? Receive you. Now who's he writing to here? He's writing to born again Christians. He's writing to spirit-filled Christians. But he's saying there needs to be a separation in your life from your life before Christ to your life with Christ, there's some things that you're separating yourself from. And watch what he tells them. I will receive you, in verse 18, and I will be a father unto you. And you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7 and verse 1. How many of you know the words are anointed in the Bible, but not the numbers? The numbers, translators add it to make it easier to read so I could tell you what chapter and verse to turn to. But if you're reading this, Paul didn't have chapters and verses. We added that. So he's saying, and I will, verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7 and verse 1, he keeps writing, having therefore these promises. What promises? Walking with the Lord in intimate fellowship, as a son would with the father, being received of him. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Notice this. If we're walking with the Lord, we're separating ourselves from darkness. We don't want to have any part of that. We're walking away from it. Why? Because we love Him. And what are we doing when that's happening? We're cleansing ourselves. Now notice, the only person who can cleanse you is you. You have to make a decision to have God's cleansing power come in your life. And he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. That's a key word. From all filthiness of the flesh. Holiness, by definition, means clean. Pure. Light. Sin is filthy. It's dirty. It's spotted and heavy. How do you know what you shouldn't be involved in and who you shouldn't be involved in a relationship with? Do you feel dirty after you do it? Do you feel heavy after you watch it? Do you feel clean after you listen to it? I'm preaching real good. Have you ever watched something and at the end of watching it, you just felt dirty? Even whether it was on something on TV or something that just everybody else is watching and every other, it's just on, you know, ABC, NBC, and at the end of watching it, something didn't feel right on the inside. It's unclean. Holiness on the other end, on the other spectrum, it's cleansing. It's light. It's refreshing. That's why when you come away from church, you feel better. You feel clean. You feel lighter. That's why when you have a great fellowship with the Lord or hear great worship, in the middle of that great worship, it's almost like you're being liberated. It's almost like things are being stripped off of you. What is that? You're associating with light. You're associating with righteousness. And that has an effect on your flesh and spirit. Notice he tells us to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh, of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holy ground is receiving ground. Go over to the Old Testament. I'll close with this. Book of Exodus. Book of Exodus. Walking with the Lord, first step is putting away the things of this world, keeping ourselves unspotted from it. I like how Peter put it. Peter said, walking away from things and the lust which war against our soul. What's he saying? It pulls on you. Listen to me. There are things that your flesh wants that are crazy. Paul even admitted it. He said, I've got to put my body under. Meaning there were things that his body wanted to do that it shouldn't do. And so just because you have the desire to do it doesn't mean there's anything wrong. Your flesh, if you read Romans 6 and 7, your flesh will often war against your spirit. It'll want to do things it shouldn't do. And holiness stands up and puts under that flesh and says, no, I'll walk worthy of him. And when you do that, you're just, well, I'll put it to you this way, you're sowing towards the spirit. And from sowing towards the spirit, it's like Paul wrote in Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is enmity, distance from God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, he goes on talking about then, Romans 8 and 14, for those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. What's he talking about? He's saying, if you want this rich fellowship with the Lord, being led by God's Spirit, we've got to learn that every time we sow to the flesh, of the flesh we reap. But every time we put the flesh under and sow towards the Spirit, we reap a harvest from the Spirit. Exodus. And notice here, in chapter 3, and let's look in verse 3, for the sake of time. It says here in Exodus 3, in verse 3, it said, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Basically, you know the story, a bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And so he turned to see what in the world was going on. And the bush was not burnt. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Notice God's calling to him. Now this is very symbolic of your walk with the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, what's God going to be doing? He's going to be calling unto you. He's going to be calling for you to come into fellowship. He's going to be calling to share life with you. He calls your heart, beckons for it to come. That's why you answered the altar call in the first place. There was something pulling on your heart. What's he doing? He's calling unto you. And notice he's calling Moses here to fellowship to him. But watch the first thing he talks to him about. Verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off the shoes from off thy feet. For the place where thou art on and standing is holy ground. He tells him, before you come, got to do something. Got to take your shoes from off your feet. What does this mean? See, the shoes that he carried, he walked around the earth with. And if you know the story of even when they set up the tabernacle and the temple and the high priest, they had to wash themselves and get rid of all the dirt from the world before they approached God. It's a type and shadow of sin. God's calling him unto holy ground. And in order to get that holy ground, he's got to get the world off of him. And so he takes off of his shoes and steps on holy ground. And it's on holy ground where God speaks to him. And it's on holy ground where God reveals his plan for him. And it's on holy ground where the destiny for Moses' life was finally revealed to him. On holy ground. You can keep reading in your own personal time. But it was when Moses drew near to God by taking off his shoes, found himself on holy ground, that he received from God instruction that changed his life forever. My father kept a journal. He only made one journal entry his entire life. And he made it on March 19, 2001. He went home to be with the Lord there on April 17, 2001. And he only made one journal entry. In closing tonight, I want to read some things that he was talking about in here. Very personal, but I think it'll be enlightening. I'll give you a little insight. At his life right now, at this stage of his life, he's seeking the Lord for direction. Basically, he had bought this property. We were getting ready to clear it, all of those things. We had designed a building to go onto it. But the building that had been designed was millions and millions of dollars over budget. And he didn't know what to do. And so he's at a place where he's trying to hear from God. And he's at a place where he's got questions that he needs answers to. I don't know if you're in that place. But that's where he was. I need to hear from him. I've got questions I need answers to. And so that's what he's going through when he's writing this journal. And he says, today is the first time in my life when I've ever kept a journal. Too much has happened in my life from the ages of 18 through 44 for me to go back and record now. God has those records on file, not me. It's my heart's desire to live my life in a way that would bring pleasure to him. The choices we make in life determine that. What's he talking about? Same thing Paul was. I want to walk worthy of him unto all pleasing. He says, last night I preached a message from God called Near to Hear. It was about Moses and the burning bush. How when he saw it, he turned aside, then God spoke to him. We must turn aside from the things that take us away from hearing God's voice. The enemy deals in distraction. We must turn aside from the things that keep us from hearing God's voice. Really, to hear God's voice is our choice. Whose choice is it? It's our choice. It's your choice. Hearing God's voice is your choice. Enoch chose to walk with God. Noah, in the middle of a perverse generation, chose to walk with God. Moses turned aside and took off his shoes, got over on holy ground. They chose it. They chose it. To hear God's voice is our choice. In Genesis 13, Abraham separated from Lot. Then God spoke to him about greater things. It's the lots in life that keep us in the small things of God. God told Moses, draw not nigh, but put off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. That puts us, being on holy ground, that puts us on receiving ground, which is holy ground. Where do we receive impartation from God? Wisdom, the knowledge of his will. Holy ground is receiving ground. When the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies, he was cautious and not careless, or it could cost him his life. He would leave the outer courts, which is praise, to enter in the inner court, which is worship. Praise is out of the body, worship is of the heart. We must be willing aside to turn aside from surface places and go deeper. Deep calls unto deep. God reaches my spirit man. That's when I know I'm standing on holy ground. The children of Israel refused to draw near to God and stood afar off. The sons of the prophets did too. But Moses and Elisha were willing to draw near. I desire to draw near to God. The flesh, the devil, and the world always try to keep us at a distance from God. He goes on to say, I've got to hear God about many things. I know he is near the broken spirit and contrite heart. May I move from the mouth to the heart in God at all times. It is good for me to draw near to God because the near hear God. And I know he is not far from all of us. If I draw near to him, he will draw near to me. But I know it's my move. So my prayer today is sincere. I'm going to stay near to hear. I know if I will turn aside, I will hear God's voice. Then I can go from a shepherd to a deliverer. I can talk to God and he will listen. God, I'm listening. Say on. I'm on holy ground because I'm on hearing ground. The holy hear God. And that was how he ended his last journal entry ever. His only journal entry ever. The holy hear God. The holy hear God. Making a decision, a choice. I'm going to walk worthy of him. I choose it. I don't make God make me choose it. I choose it. Of my own free will, I choose to live holy for him. It's my gift to him. It's my gift. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service. The Amplified says, my spiritual worship. I do it for him. The holy hear God. Every head bowed, let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. We love you so much. Help us come up higher. Help us, Lord, put aside the flesh. Help us, Lord, walk in a cleansing of our heart, a cleansing of our flesh, and perfect holiness.